listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Along with this subject matter, we have, you know, there's always an effort to kind of listen in to what your fellow man is saying, especially, you know, again, when you go back to Spartacus, Adam Weishaupt, and that whole conversation, the intrigue at work behind the thrones of power, so to speak. But that sort of intrigue has been institutionalized in government agencies like FBI, CIA, NSA, NRO, et cetera, and as a result, we get things like COINTELPRO, COINTELPRO 2, Operation Chaos, the assassination of civil rights leaders, and, you know, the infiltration of groups, and whether spurious or not, you know, the best way to control the quote attributed to Lenin, usually the best way to control the opposition is to lead it or start it. This is an instrumental aspect of controlling people. And, you know, the best way to control them or to, you know, to control opposition and revolution and things is to infiltrate these groups, to create them, to infiltrate them, and to lead them. And to me, again, that all gets back to what Nesta Webster was writing about in World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization. So I'm not aware of any of these efforts that have ever really truly started from, you know, a few people having a conversation in the absence, I should say, of the hidden hand influence, basically. One such effort that I can think of that I believe was organic and genuine was John Stadmiller's effort to start the ERN, the Elected Representatives Network, about 10 years ago, and you know, get people discussing amongst themselves with their elected representatives, and that effort stalled. Apparently, there was no Ford Foundation, Guggenheim, Sloan Foundation, MacArthur Foundation grant for the Elected Representatives Network. So you don't see those kinds of efforts, and they certainly don't persist over time. They usually get infiltrated.
Absolutely, they get infiltrated. Yeah, because it has been a struggle for a long time, because like what you said, the way power corrupts, and it's mm-hmm. like this is probably our biggest problem. And, you know, it's when people get power, they use it to oppress and exploit. And then, so the oppressed start trying to struggle back. And then, like you said, they infiltrate them. I've been like, the way you've used the word predators. And see, I think we have predatory capitalism, not the good capitalism. And and you know, you've been talking about how, you know, people need to quit preying on each other. That's P-R-E-Y. and stuff and
start PRAYING over each other. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
No more predation.
You know, the thing is this is the problem. And then when people have a lot, they tend to lie to themselves about what they're doing in order to avoid appropriate guilt. You know, they find some kind of rationalization or whatever. But and this goes back to pre-Jesus. You know, it's like the Romans weren't there to do any intended good when they went to Palestine, okay, when they were occupying Palestine at the time of Jesus, okay? And so this has been going on, and see, a lot of this goes back to this colonialism and how those with power, you know, like you've talked about, being pirates and going around the world if they have power and stealing. And, you know, they're a bunch of pirates. And like I said, I kind of have see, this is what's still going on with Venezuela and everything else, because I kind of have a little life experience, like I said, with, you see, because remember, okay, now it's the Anglo-American Empire, but in the past, like, it was the Spaniards, okay? Well, by marriage, I had some of these rich Spaniards in my family, okay? So the thing is, and I remember, you see, so my uncle was a Spanish descendant, and he married my aunt, okay? And they lived in Puerto Rico, and they would well point out to us, we're not, how that was a, I remember my parents telling me, oh, there's no middle class there, there's only rich and poor. And, you know, and a lot of this stuff never really made sense, and I think back as I got older, and then bragging about, oh, no, we're not Puerto Ricans, we're Spaniards. And see, he became a lawyer, and he only worked for 2 years, and when his dad died, he never worked again because he inherited all kind of property on the main street of San Juan, Puerto Rico. And so, but the thing is, there's a mindset of these people where, like, even when there were small inheritances in my family, they would still try to steal or take that. And they would say, my parents were like small business people struggling in a small town with not much opportunity to make a living. And they're just so out of touch. Where they'd say stuff like, oh, it's easier to make money than to try to hold on to it, you know, because they were always trying to avoid taxes and stuff. I mean, just totally clueless, insensitive things they would say, okay? And, you know, their kids always had, if we got anything, my aunt had to go run out and buy better. My mother tricked her one time, though. One time she didn't tell my aunt that she was buying my oldest sister, a .22 rifle for Christmas. Well, when we had one boy cousin and the rest of us were girls, when he found out Christmas Day that my older sister had got a .22 rifle for Christmas, she had to go buy him one the next day. He was boo-hooing and whining so bad. They were spoiled. They were insensitive. And the thing is, so there's something about these people who inherit this great wealth from the colonial powers, who are, but they do this in order to like not feel bad about the easy wealth that they obtained from their ancestors. You see, and so the thing is, and I watched this. You know, also I remember when I worked in Texas. Anderson's Galleria, Mexican a day keeps the creditors away, but it was the rich Mexicans who were white who were the descendants of the Spaniards. So this goes on in Puerto Rico. This went on. This is with the Venezuelan, the brown people in Venezuela are still trying to free themselves from the rich Spaniards and their descendants. And this is going on in Mexico, Puerto Rico, Venezuela. All this goes down to the colonial powers and then passing down that wealth that they took from a long time ago to their children and still trying to hang on to it and protect what their pirate ancestors took from those people. You see?
So the salient point here, bringing it back around to today and sort of tying the ends of history together. There is an ideology at work that fears the masses, so to speak, if they ever get wind of what is happening.
Yeah. You
know, folks behaving criminally or operating criminal syndicates in spite of, was it de Balzac's axiom, I think, is that behind every great fortune there's a crime.
Yeah.
So you legalize it first and then you engage in a criminal operation, or you do it before it's been criminalized. Anyway, the mindset at work is the fear of the masses, and if they ever figure things out, either those who have operated predation schemes on them will be brought to account, or they'll lose their pirate's booty, or both. And the point that I always try to return to on this broadcast is the Jeffersonian principle. Jefferson, in his letter to Samuel Kercheval, when he wrote, "I'm not among those who fear the people. They and not the rich are our dependents for continued freedom." And then he went on and he was very specific, but it's that sense, that, you know, Jeffersonian idea, "I'm not among those who fear the people," and the, you know, separation of powers, the informed discretion, and all of those things that portends. Folks thinking for themselves in contravention, really, to Hayek's chapter 10, why the worst get on top in the road to serfdom. So,
yeah, that's what that really is what the big struggle is right now. This really is, this boils down what's going on in the world a lot, the big struggle. See that guy they're trying to put in, that Guaido fella? And I'm not saying the other guy's good. I mean, brown people, when they get power, they can be nasty
revolution.
Too. Just the thing is, I think that
revolution.
Whole thing with Guaido is, that's he's one more puppet of the American government,
right?
That they're
One person says, you know, they're trying to install their puppet dictator, the CIA and friends, and another person says, which one, basically? And that's the way that goes. And I wish that I agreed that it is the struggle. I wish that more folks were aware of what's happening and that it was the animating contest of freedom that Samuel Adams talked about, where people were thinking for themselves and saying, we can get together and have a conversation like you and I are right now, but I don't see that happening very much, certainly not outside venues like this.
I find most people, how can I say this, you and I are having a good conversation about this. Mostly instead, I hear a bunch of parrots, both left and right, just shooting their talking points that they've heard by going to their left corner website or their right corner website. They just keep parroting memes back and forth at each other. They're not really hearing and listening to each other, and that's why we can't get anywhere.
Yep, that is a big part of it. And again, you know, it calls to mind the cybernetic operant conditioning, mimetic warfare, and all of those kinds of things. It's difficult, though, these days to really break out of that, to build one's faculties, you know, go to the mental gym, basically, and build one's faculties, let alone break out of herdthink and not be vilified and castigated for it as a result.
Well, like I said, I thank you for giving me some time, and let me let somebody else get in.
Yep. Thank you for your salient points, Renee. Appreciate it, as always.
Uh-huh.
Much appreciated. In the interest of time, we'll go back to the phone. Spartacus in Pennsylvania. Welcome. Thanks for calling. Do we have this caller? Yeah, we'll come back to Spartacus in Pennsylvania. So, you know, the Jeffersonian principle, I mean, And again, Lord Acton, you know, in that letter to Archbishop Mandel Creighton, I mean, I mentioned this before. The sentiment expressed was basically this. This is the broader context. He wrote, historic responsibility has to make up for the want of legal responsibility. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. But these days in America, it all comes down to influence because there's the plausible deniability. You're not exercising authority per se. We're not marching down the streets shooting vaccines at people per se. We're just browbeating people with talking points. You know, how dare you speak ill of an industry that kills and permanently injures people and is routinely caught engaging in fraud and corruption and trying to bribe police and other officials? How dare you call into question the integrity of this scheme? Influence, I would say, is worse than authority, because at least authority is more overt and direct. Influence is, to me, it's venal and cowardly and particularly fiendish and devilish. So, just my own perspective. At least authority is direct and sort of in your face, typically. Generally speaking. So Acton wrote still more. So great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. And, you know, I mean, I've mentioned Standard Oil and IG Farben speaking of Bayer and the Council of the Gods, and Bayer still persists, and Standard Oil and its various subsequent incarnations. And these folks that fancy themselves the Council of the Gods, the overlords of the digital world, have fancied themselves the same way, which seems to bear out Lord Acton's axiom that power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. Still more, he wrote, when you super add the tendency of, or the certainty of, corruption by authority. There is no worse heresy than that the office sanctifies the holder of it. That is the point at which the end learns to justify the means. And we've sort of institutionalized this in America, it seems, you know, in the emergency state, which students of history remember that it was the Carnegie Endowment for International So-Called Peace back 100 years ago, the turn of the 20th century, that was saying, how can we create a condition in America that will allow us to create this just perpetual state of change so that we can engineer a society and get to where we want? How can we do that in dialectical fashion? And they settled on a state of perpetual war and crisis and emergency as the most effective means, because in times of emergency, you can say, we don't have time to think rationally. Not now. We have to act. And so it's that sort of sense of action for action's sake, which, by the way, Hayek also mentions in chapter 10, The Road to Serfdom. Remember? The leader, strong and resolute enough to get things done, action for action's sake, is the goal. Again, where are we in America? Stick around, we'll be right back.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back.
My brother.
Like Jefferson said, I am not among those who fear the people. They and not the rich are our dependents for continued freedom. It's not their assembling, the assembling of themselves together, that I am concerned about either. But, you know, when we talk about International Workers Day, what are we talking about? That's nothing that you or I created. It's an effort of intrigue and deception. The hidden hand operating to, you know, get workers of the world to unite. And so infecting people with the mind virus of national socialism or international socialism, a.k.a. communism, and then, you know, having them trying to abuse one another, playing them off against one another, that I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. So, back to the phones. We have Spartacus, yes, from Pennsylvania.
I am Spartacus.
Okay.
The good job is in the pipeline. Repeat, the good job is in the pipeline.
Right on.
Ah, oh, yes. Others have tried to impersonate me, but I am.
Yeah.
You do it, okay. And it works well enough, I suppose. But people have to know the movie to appreciate it.
Yeah.
When I originally called in many moons ago, before I had gotten gas, taking a nap in my car to think about the parking lot.
You're giving yourself away, Spartacus, with your trope.
I know. Well, I had already given that up. But you were talking about surveillance things. We're talking about conditioning the people, getting the people to accept it. Not only that, don't forget, they're conditioning the worker bases, their employee base to participate, you know? It's like you too can be a spy and listen to people sing in the shower.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I mean by the operant conditioning, you know? And so it's like shades of Philip Zimbardo's Lucifer effect. And I know folks have said, you know, well, that's sort of disingenuous, but when you think about it, when you think about the Milgram experiment, when you see those things playing out in your own life and experience in non-controlled ways, so to speak, non-directly controlled ways, then how else do you explain it? Anyway.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, they'll get bored out of their wits, because you know what they're going to hear? Domestic disturbance. The same, the vast majority of 9/11 calls.
Right.
Police or for domestic disturbance. So all they're going to do is listen to people out there in the culture arguing and fighting with each other, you know.
And it sort of normalizes evil. It draws people in, conscripts them to, and normalizes evil. And in a society that, you know, again, I mean, we've played the clip of Dimitri Christakis talking about how we have generations now that are growing up in a sort of ADHD inducing technology culture. Those folks that, like you say, are bored out of their minds anyway, and because of all of this pop culture and technology, now have what I call a pornographic addiction to tragedy, because it's titillating and exciting. You know, then these things that you're talking about are, I mean, it's, you know, I get paid to sort of entertain myself at someone else's expense, essentially.
Right. Now, and don't forget, these are people who call good evil and evil good. So
yeah.
When they say don't be evil, what they really mean is don't be good.
Fair point.
I can just hear Alan Watt talking about the neighbors, you know, everybody's neighbors spying on each other, you know, like they got the gossip monger of the neighborhood, you know, being the spy who rats out her neighbors and stuff like that. You know, this takes the whole spying on your neighbors and ratting people out to a whole new level.
And Jordan Peterson on Jocko Willink's podcast, you know, we've played that clip, how a totalitarian state is actually formed. And him talking about, you know, Nazi Germany, I think, what was it, 2 out of 6 people in every house were confirmed spies? And now we've just normalized that with technology. We're all spies. We all are inviting the digital panopticon into one another's homes with these gifts. Yay.
A man's enemies shall be those of his own household.
Absolutely. Matthew 10. And think about the Stockholm Syndrome, folks, when you buy or someone else buys for you the gift of surveillance and surveillance capitalism. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Metaphor for total, you know, you saw the same thing with Solzhenitsyn's part by the inmates. But I think that that's a really good metaphor for totalitarian states in general, you know, because we like to think that a totalitarian state is made up of innocent, oppressed individuals who are under the thumb of an evil tyrant, and that all of the catastrophes are cascading from the top down. But I don't think that that's true. I think that it's more like a holographic structure where the tyranny exists at every single level. So it exists psychologically, and it exists within the family, and it exists within the mid-level organizations. And so, well, you know, in Eastern Germany, for example, one out of every three people was a government informer. So what that meant is if you had a family of six people, that two of them you couldn't trust. And you can't just say that that's a consequence of the top-down structure. A tyranny is something that exists everywhere simultaneously once it gets a grip. And it's easy for people to say things like, well, I was just following orders. And, you know, I'm not.
So, you know, when we consider these sorts of things, we think about it, you know, people say, oh, the Milgram experiment, Ash conformity experiments, Philip Zimbardo's Stanford Prison Experiment, these kinds of things, they're sort of disingenuous, they're put-up jobs. Then how do we explain Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men, or Sinclair Lewis's They Thought They Were Free, or Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free, Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, you know, of course, Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago, Daniel Goldhagen's work, you know, and so many other examples that have been brought to light from even recent contemporary history. And these lessons date back into antiquity. And of course, the big one, I think, is R.J. Rummel's Death by Government. And it's not, you know, again, the salient takeaway here is, and the bridge of all of the subject matters, it's International Workers' Day, Workers of the World Unite. It's these people groups that are fomented and played off against one another, unbeknownst to them, unwittingly and unbeknownst to themselves, that cause this kind of atrocity. You know, R.J. Rummel's estimation is what? Approaching 200 million people over the course of 20th century history murdered essentially by one another in what he calls democide or death by government. And so this this is the thing that I think of when I think of Nesta Webster's words. You know, it's difficult to write these things calmly. To deceive people and to lead them to believe that, you know, there's a boogeyman somewhere on some other continent that's trying to get them. Meanwhile, the same people are putting a gun in each person's hand, telling each person the same thing, the same lie, and trying to get them to shoot at each other. It needs to stop. Anyway.
You know, Chris, yes, the waters can get very muddied in that regard, but you've got to admit, here on this May Day, it's so nice to have such a refreshing change of pace when we have one clear-cut, despotic, tyrannical dictator to be deposed and one clear-cut, knight in shining armor riding to the rescue here in this conflict in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah. Right. Of course. And, you know, why wouldn't we need to be involved in that nonsense? Because, you know, it's important business for the average American. I mean, John Bolton reminds us in very clear and unequivocal terms, we need the oil. It'd be great to have the oil.
And that is such a pathetic lie, because the world is awash in oil. You know, they never brought the Liberty rig online, up on Gull Island and all that kind of stuff. It's just U.S. resources alone. You have the newly discovered Israeli resources. You have the world is awash in oil.
Again, lessons of history. I mean, it's the ghost of Cecil Rhodes and De Beers. You know, do the kinds of things that you're talking about? I mean, those are the lessons of history. You foment a scarcity, and you foment through propaganda, the specious demand for something.
Right. We could never open the diamond mines in the American Southwest so that would disclose the fact that, you know, diamonds are barely even semi-precious, let alone precious. You know? So,
For those who don't know about that, it's interesting. You know, I usually think about the episode of Adam Ruins Everything, where Adam Conover, the College Humor video, it was published back in 2014. It's titled "Why Engagement Rings Are a Scam." And it's received 12.5 million views to date. And, you know, but the propaganda is so effective that they close the video by basically saying, you know, so now that you know, can we dispense with the myth of, you know, diamonds are a girl's best friend, and, you know, this is something that has anything to do. Yeah. Can we dispense with that? And, you know, they close basically on the point that, no, the propaganda is so effective and so pervasive that we have to continue the lie.
Is there any one people group that dominates that market?
I don't know.
Never mind. Like, say if you were to go and go up to Manhattan and look to buy some diamonds, you know, I'm just wondering if you find any one people group prevalent. When you think of it, there were like at least I just realized there are two James Bond movies that entailed, you know, the diamonds. The Diamonds Are Forever. One was Sean Connery, I think it was, and then the Die Another Day with a, or I suppose for one of them, Conflict Time. One of the Pierce Brosnan ones. I forget which it was, but you know, he was. It's funny how they managed to work diamonds in there. But I mean, that's just an example of you know, falsely keeping the prices of commodities high. I mean, heck, the government still pays agribusiness, instead of paying small farmers subsidies not to grow food, now they get to pay big agribusinesses not to grow food.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But anyway. Yeah, it's funny, I haven't heard Renee for a while. I was almost going to ask about her the other day. But, you know what, like sometimes she's exceedingly good at pointing out hypocrisy, because one way or the other, everybody, you know, yes, these groups are, you know, people are hypocrites, but, you know, oh yeah, like, it's because it's her complimento. She'll say, well, these guys complain about this, but they're not so really white themselves. Like, okay, yeah, that's true, but sometimes you got to throw in with somebody who's, like, a little less than perfect or something, and then, like, you know, once you accomplish something, then you can police your own ranks and go after them. But it can become a form of self-defeating, you know, lamentation if all you're doing is constantly pointing out people's hypocrisy. At some point, you gotta team up with somebody to accomplish something.
Yeah. Yep, and that's easier said than done. You know, again, the Noam Chomsky clip, people are not supposed to get together. We're not supposed to assemble ourselves together and demand a redress and those kinds of things.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Time to love one another, right? Anyway, I got to go. I got to go into the big box store and buy my antibiotic tainted chicken.
Nice. Well,
thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Spartacus, as always. Much appreciated. I wonder if I can find that Noam Chomsky clip quickly. I don't know. Wouldn't be bad to play that. I am not confident that I can put my hands on it quickly, so maybe we'll forgo that. I'll look briefly. What do we have here? You know, and again, I mean, I would ask, we've been given so many slogans, and, you know, I mean, I think of John Sutherland, you know, make mine freedom. Make mine freedom. Government-sponsored propaganda. Again, how do you direct someone's attention? How do you point people at the very evil you have them ostensibly fighting? Never mind the fact that, again, Anthony Sutton and others have told us, yeah, actually, these same guys were creating, they were fomenting both sides of the conflict, as is typically the case. Which again has to get folks asking the question, who really won, well, any major conflict, when the same forces are fomenting both sides. That was one of the most salient takeaways from the late great Anthony Sutton's work, which, you know, should be deeply ingrained in our collective American psyche, if there is such a thing, you know, that's not formed in bad guy fashion. Make mine freedom. That was like, what, 4 minutes long or so? No, it was longer than that. Anyway, otherwise we'd play that. Make mine freedom. So you have to get people's attention before you can guide and direct it. And then by degrees, that's how it works, you know, by degrees. Like Jefferson said, a departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, until the bulk of society is reduced to mere automatons of misery and to have no sensibilities left but for sinning and suffering. Again, that was the letter to Samuel Kirchhoff back in 1816. But, you know, those old dead white guys, what did they know? Anyway. Or any of them, you know. We're not supposed to look back and learn how, you know, the lessons of history. I don't want to open a can of worms, but because people don't understand, you know. Folks like Frederick Douglass, for example, speaking favorably about Thomas Jefferson. Why? You know, we're not supposed to keep those sorts of reminders in front of mind, because then, you know, there would be no conflict. You couldn't play people off against one another. I wish that we got a sense of liberty these days in America. Speaking of Frederick Douglass, liberty is meaningless where the right to utter one's thoughts and opinions has ceased to exist. That of all rights is the dread of tyrants. It is the right which they first of all strike down. They know its power. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers founded in injustice and wrong are sure to tremble if men are allowed to reason of righteousness, temperance, and of a judgment to come in their presence. Again, it gets down to that sort of worldview discussion. Anyway, I want to go back to the article. I think, you know, all of this ties in. And the surveillance state, you know, we played the clip, Jordan Peterson, how a totalitarian state is actually formed from his appearance on Jocko Willink's podcast last March. And do you see how all of the subject matter is connected, and do you see what's happening in America? And I dare say most folks in America are not acquainted with this subject matter. And again, as Huckabee said 12 or so years ago on the 2008 presidential campaign trail, a speech that used to be published on the Council on Foreign Relations website, you know, that he gave was a CFR speech given, delivered at the CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, one of the old school bad guy think tanky headquarters, a place that at one point boasted both Kissinger and Brzezinski on its board, to tell you all you need to know. CFR has since remove that speech from the website. I wonder why. That's curious. I think it's the most distilled treatise on Marxism that you'll find anywhere. Create havoc in the world. You need Marxist sparks and Marxist underclass fuel. That's how it works. You rally the oppressed peasants behind the intellectual spark, and you know, all the better if you have technological and various other means to create what Hayek talked about. Those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions and emotions are readily aroused, who thus swell the ranks of the totalitarian party. And if you can just keep those kinds of people going and playing them off against one another, then, you know, they victimize and destroy one another unbeknownst to themselves and each other. And I think that should stop. So let's take this opportunity, the Fabian socialist, Weishaupt and Mayor Amschel Bauer day of infamy, historically, and you know, I've talked about that before too. to bring this information to light. You know, International Workers' Day. I mean, getting back to the conversation with Renee in North Carolina, the timing of it emerging on the international landscape and those who have adopted it, seeming enemies. You know, it is the darling of communism and socialism. But I guess that's not a big deal anymore in America, you know, because it's a kinder, gentler socialism. Never mind the fact that socialism has always been at its core authoritarian. It is. There is a dictator somewhere dictating, benevolent or otherwise. That's how socialism works. Is that American? I don't think so. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. To close out the final segment of this broadcast on International Workers' Day, the Day of Intrigue, May Day, Wednesday, May 1st, 2019, back to the Engadget article, which I think is fitting. Surveillance capitalism. Folks need to have a discussion. You want to talk about predatory capitalism, Fordism, etc., that and gangsterism, etc. The surveillance capitalism, I mean, how is this a talking point in America? It is the legitimization of the digital panopticon. It is the worst elements of all of the worst lessons of history. This is where these things, this is not static. This is dynamic. It has a direction. It has a momentum. It is headed somewhere. And I dare say it's headed in precisely the direction that Jordan Peterson is talking about in that segment we played, the clip from the video, How a Totalitarian State is Actually Formed. It is the digital panopticon, quite literally. And it's being normalized, and people are being conscripted to it. And there are, you know, all of the worst psychological lessons and the players involved. Brock Chisholm is mentioned in this article, and again I asked, you know, do you think he's related to the Brock Chisholm of historical infamy? G. Brock Chisholm? So just a couple of things real quick as we go out. This paragraph, I don't know about you, but my willingness to accept a statement about a tech company's internal rules is in the yeah, we'll see stage after literally every Facebook statement over the past 10 years, relying on the it's against the rules excuse to avoid accountability. Right, I think of Irwin Mainway and Martin Short's attorney character from Saturday Night Live also. And, oh gosh, what's the other one? Anyway, we have all absolutely soured on data mongers and their intrusions and asking us to, and again, you know, Jaron Lanier has been telling us, dump social media and do it now. We've all absolutely soured on data mongers and their intrusions and asking us to trust that those companies' rules will protect us. Data and surveillance capitalism has become a multi-billion dollar industry based on the take first, ask permission later principle of canoodling with consumers. And by the way, I saw a story today about the Beyond Meat nonsense, the stock market. The symbol is going to be BYND, which is to me esoteric. It's bind and beyond. It's cartoonish. You know, did Marvel and DC help pick that symbol? Anyway, that, you know, the article was something along the lines of are there health concerns, which is ridiculous. Now that it's out in the market and people are eating it, I wonder if there are health concerns. This is what we've been conditioned to. So the premise in the article, we're not stupid, we're just stuck with it. I disagree. We're not stuck with it. Jaron Lanier has been telling us for years now, months and years. Dump social media. Go back to email. We can communicate that way. It's difficult. It's not as user-friendly as Messenger, for example, but it works, and it's less easily spied on. Anyway, it's an interesting read. I encourage you to read the Engadget article. I hope it was informative. It's truly, as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.